Hello, and welcome to Spellcast episode 27. I'm your host, Courtney, and this is my co-host, Andrielle.
Greetings, friends. We're going to try to finish up our episodes with correspondences. Foundational thinking is the idea and the key. So we're going to build off what we were talking about last time in regards to the days. Now we're going to talk to the hours of the day. You know, the planetary hours, the angelic hours, all of these references. And we will also talk about the four seasons and wrap it up there.
Yes, and our goal is, like he said, to accomplish talking about both of those things within a timely fashion. So hopefully we can keep it within the hour. All right, so this is going to be the final episode in our little mini series there of all the magical correspondences. We're hoping this helps aid you in your spell work or just in your knowledge in general, because it's good to, again, enhance spell work where you can. And like we've mentioned, it doesn't make it worse if you can't do these things. If, you know, it's too much for you to focus on certain days, hours, weeks, whatever,
just
it's fine.
So you know, yeah. You have a way to, you know,
yeah,
have
it's
a
just,
reference point.
It's just knowledge should you decide you want to do it and you have extra time and you want to really get into it. But no pressure. You don't have to do it to be a good practitioner at all. So, Andrielle, would you like to start off with the hours?
Alrighty. So, this was something that actually confused me for quite some time. And I've read a great many books on the occult. And some of them that I've read that touched on this topic didn't exactly do it justice or explain it in a way that was actually user-friendly, for lack of a better word. So I'm going to explain it in the easiest way possible. Essentially, every hour that passes has to do with the same energies as the days of the week, friends. So you think the sun, the moon, the planets, you know, and the deities. So you think Mercury, Venus, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, etc., etc. These days also have to do with angels, which I will reference as well for those who like to work with angels and angel-related magic. But I'll do one at a time to not be confusing. Essentially, the beginnings of each day is how you will know how to go in a particular order. So, on Sunday at midnight, so from 12 a.m. to 1 a.m., it is the hour of the sun. And from 1 a.m. to 2 a.m., you go essentially back 2 days. Instead of going forward, you go back 2 days. This is how you understand the hours. It's pretty simple once you get it in this rhythm. So if hour 12 to 1 is the sun, then 1 to 2 would be Venus, 2 to 3 would be Mercury.
Wait, now explain why it's Venus, because Venus is on Friday, and Friday
yes.
is 2 days before Sunday.
2 days before Sunday.
Okay.
And then 2 days before Friday is Wednesday, and 2 days before Wednesday is Monday, so you get the moon. Then that's from hours 3 to 4. Then Saturn for Saturday is 4 to 5. Then Jupiter on Thursday is 5 to 6. Mars on Tuesday is 6 to 7. And then you return to the sun, the hour of the sun again on the day of Sunday, which is 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And this keeps going, friends. This sequence doesn't stop. By the time to get to noon on Sunday, noon on Sunday is the hour of Jupiter. So if we were to go to, let's say, Monday, it will start, the hour of the moon will start at midnight on Monday. So 12 to 1 a.m. And then it will go to Saturn. And
for 2 days before that is Saturday.
Yes. And it's so on and so forth. Same idea. Same thing with Tuesday. Tuesday, the hour of midnight is Mars. On Wednesday, the hour of midnight is Mercury. On Thursday, the hour at midnight is Jupiter. Friday, the hour of midnight is Venus, and Saturday, the hour of midnight is Saturn. This is a pretty easy way to remember it. I wish it was explained to me this easily. I wish it was set up this easy to understand. A great book to have this laid out right in front of you is The ABCs of Magic Charms, forwarded by Judica Illes, I want to say is her last name. You'll see that name in a lot of those giant encyclopedias of magic. I know some of you have them. The Encyclopedia of Spells, the Encyclopedia of Spirits. It's a giant, like, Webster Dictionary style book. It is revised and expanded by Elizabeth Pepper. It's part of the Witch's Almanac series.
Yeah, we'll have to put that in the show notes so you guys can get a good idea of that. Because, again, you're not going to memorize all that probably, but to have it in reference form in front of you will be helpful when you want to work with it. And don't worry, hearing all this stuff stressed me out at first. So if it seems a little overwhelming, you know, it's okay. You can get used to it. And I would say make maybe like a visual chart, almost like a pie graph or a timeline. Those things in mind about 2 days before and how that works.
Sacred geometry can always help because this is what it all is, friends. We're all just, you know, geometry and numbers. And I say just, but obviously that's a very infinite, expansive sort of idea. So just to understand that, if there are any further questions, if anyone needs any further clarification, certainly state it in the comments in the show notes. I'm also going to reference, before I do that, actually, to understand how these hours work, the hours essentially have the same correspondences as the day in and of itself. So you can have a like attracts like, or you can do things that are in contour or opposite or things like that. So if you are doing a love spell at the hour of Mars, it will be primarily romantic love, but with a very strong intensity behind it of lust. And the same thing can be said vice versa if you do a love spell on Tuesday, depending on your biological sex, your gender, you know, and your understand of what it is you're trying to attract and the synchronicities that you're trying to invoke. Same idea. And if you want to mix certain ideas, or if you want to have the same resonance. So if you do a strength building spell, you know, a war related spell on Tuesday during the hour of Mars, the day of Mars, the hour of Mars, same idea, same sort of energy. And these things translate over to the other deities that are in other pantheons. So Mars has to do with Tyr. Jupiter can be related to Odin and Thor. Mercury can also be related to Odin, Hermes, Venus to Aphrodite, sun deities, etc., etc. So
you can really work with a lot of different deities. You're not just held down to planetary associations.
If you're aware of these things, your spellcraft can only become stronger. But in that relation to the hours and the planetary idea, we'll go right into the angels of the week. So the archangel for Monday is Gabriel. His color is usually associated with silver and white. You know, we think the moon, that's pretty straightforward. Wednesday, the archangel of this day is Michael. And another angel that is associated with this day is Raphael. And the color there in regards to angelic related magic can be purple. For Friday, the archangel is Haniel. And the other angel associated with this day is Aniel. Haniel is spelled H-A-N-I-E-L. Aniel is A-N-A-E-L. Copper and greens, those are pretty synonymous with the other occult symbolisms. Sunday, the archangel of that day is Raphael, and the other angel that has to do with that day is Michael. You think the sun, the gold, yellow. Tuesday, we get into the angels that are a little lesser known. Kamael, so K-H-A-M A-E-L, I apologize, I had a brain fart. Kamael, if I'm pronouncing that right. And the other angel that has to do with this day is Zamael. So Z-A-M-A-E-L. Mars, iron, red, same synonymous correspondences. That's Tuesday. For Thursday, Zadikel, or Zadikel, this one is interesting to spell, T-Z-A-D-I-Q-E-L. He's the archangel of that day. And the other angel that is associated with Thursday is Sachiel, however you would pronounce it, friends. I'm pretty sure it's Sachiel, if we're thinking C-H as the sort of sound in Hebrew. S-A-C-H-I-E-L. Jupiter, tin, the colors are blue, mostly royal blue. Saturday is Tzapqiel, or Tzapqiel, T-Z-A-P-H-Q-I-E-L. He's the archangel of Saturday. And the other angel that has to do with this name, Cassiel, C-A-S-S-I-E-L. The times of Saturn, you know, lead and the color black correspond with that. So if you're working with angels, these are things to keep in mind, friends. And this is a basic understanding. If I go into every single angel that can relate to these hours directly or more indirectly, that would be an entirely whole episode. And it's all right. And we will talk about angels in a whole and at a different episode. So is there anything you'd like to add in regards to planetary hours before I jump into the seasons?
Let's see. Planetary hours. Well, we can talk a little bit about certain kinds of spells you can do during certain hours. So taking all your knowledge, putting it together about the planetary symbolism for hours, the angel symbolism for hours, goes into the spell work that works best. I mean, if you need ideas for spells, or if you already have them, that's fine too. Things that work for 12 a.m. and noon are balancing energies. So when you want to balance something, it works best at the top of the hour there. When you do the during 1 a.m., the first hour of the new day, you can focus on wholeness of self and the banishing of any shadows. So that's something good that you can keep in mind for, any day, but 1 a.m., the hour, is always going to be good for that. So see what you're working on, creating anew, what you want to work on to banish shadows. I mean, it could be anything from banishing bad habits to banishing negativity. And again, like he said, depending on the day of the week that you choose to do this, depends on the energy you have behind that. So whether it's, a Mars day or, Taurus day, or if you're doing Monday with the moon. So depending on what you want to work with. If you want to work during 11 a.m., right before noon, this is energy directed towards transformations, which may have seemed impossible. So again, no such thing as a lost cause. You can work on transforming and manifesting things that you are hoping for and that may have seemed impossible before, but will be possible now. And if you'd like to work at nighttime, 5 p.m. is good for insight to the self, communicating with spiritual guides. 8 p.m. is leadership, command, and guidance. So I'd say that would be great for a Mars or Aries. And then 11 p.m., coping with drastic change in a positive way. So all things to keep in mind. Also, when working around midnight and things like that, just keep in mind that since it is the balance between good and evil, not necessarily evil in like a very strict way, but maybe good, maybe more positive light work, and then maybe darker work if you're doing any cursing or hexing. So any sort of light work should be done in the half hour leading to the stroke of midnight, while any banishing or maybe darker magic should be done within the first half hour after midnight. And another cute little thing to focus on is, and to keep, in mind with, how to help you remember what hours are good for what. If hands are on their way up on the clock with the analog clocks, that's when you should do spells for binding things away from you. And reversal should be done when both hands are facing down. Or you could always say more light work while hands are facing up and the darker work while the hands are going down. Again, symbolism that's pretty pervasive through a lot of different things. That is just a little bit of other things to keep in mind when working with hours. Again, we can go more in depth should you have any questions. But for now, I think we're good.
All right, so let's jump into the seasons. Now, everything that we talk about in the seasons, friend, I want you to think about in the idea of the structure of the single day in and of itself. What I mean by that is dawn, morning, afternoon, evening, you know, dusk, evening, dusk time, and then nighttime. The extremes, the mediums, and all the symbolisms that they have to do with, because they exist on a bigger scale in spring, and the seasons exist on a smaller scale in the idea and the concept of our 24-hour day, especially depending on the season in and of itself. So, springtime has to do with the element of air. It is the dawn of the new, you know, the new year, the new idea, when the coming of light and warm weather, the gentle change and transition from death to new life, literally the dawn after the darkest time. So, keep in mind that no one element fully corresponds with this time, but it's just that there's overall and, you know, it's different resonance at a different time. East is the direction, the power of air and all the entities that have to do with that. So you think, again, you think Mercury, you think Odin, you think, entities of that nature. We think the wind and all the correspondences of the wind. Did we actually ever do a, do we actually ever do a podcast about the four elements?
No, I don't believe we have yet. I mean, we've kind of mentioned it within things, you know, how it relates to magic and spell work, but I don't think we've done one strictly on the elements.
All right, so I guess that's something we'll talk about. That'll be another
If you guys want to learn more about it, if we haven't included enough information, just let us know and we'll do one specifically on that. All right. So,
yes, continue? Yes, to continue on, I would say, yes, any sort of healing-related modalities, yeah, new art, new life, spiritual growth from a beginning standpoint, the beginnings after a milestone.
Yes, and like spring cleaning, stuff like that.
The moist, misty airs. I know some people hate that word, but it is poetic. It's the time of dawn and morning, you know, springtime in general. The colors are lighter colors, more relaxed, not necessarily shallow in a negative sense.
Pastels.
Yes. So yellow, whites, baby blues, tools associated with this time, you would think like the censer. Some people say the wand has to do with wind and the athame has to do with fire. I think the opposite, because I've always thought in relation to the tarot cards. Obviously the consecrative tools of this time you would think would be, you know, incense and anything that has to do with air. The zephyrs, the sylphs, any sort of spirits relating to air and the guardians of the eastern watchtowers. It is a male, it is a positive polar, projective, increasing, constructive. Good things pertaining to anything regards into the mental realm and a genuine, gentle change and persistent flow of energy. So, new life. You know, flowers. Think of all the symbolisms and everything that has to do with spring. And I know we're giving a very abridged sort of way of thinking of this, but that's the thing, is this general foundation is what it is we're trying to go for in this. We can talk more in depth about each season and give each season its own personal podcast at some point.
Yeah, actually, that would be really cool to do, to go over all the different elements of that.
They will be recognized in the correspondences with particular sabbats. Mm-hmm. Fire has to do with the summer solstice. Think about it, friends, and, you know, the afternoon, the zenith of where the sun is at its most powerful, the brightest parts of the year, the hottest parts of the year. We think summer of love. We think flaming passions.
Ooh, and that's weddings, contracts, things that you're entering into.
In it, the extreme, the pure masculine element, yes, of fire. Yes, masculine. Exercise, strength, the mid portion, you know, the prime of your life. You know, if the spring is the beginning of your life, summer would be the prime of it. things related to legal matters and combat and all sorts of things are very strong at this time. We think noon, in the afternoon. I tend to think the wand, the consecrative tools of the candle. We think the general symbols of this time, you know, we think sun deities. You think anything related to fire. Salamanders is a good animal to think of. Sun-related fae and fairies. It is male, but it is actually a negative pole in aspect, as some would think. Negative overall in talking about in this context. Obviously, when spoken of in regards to the polarity of water and fire is the positive modality, whereas water would be the negative one. I also think it depends on what it is you're trying to invoke, depending, you know, is it the positive side of fire or the destructive side of it? The positive side of water that heals is also the negative side that can drown you. Anything in regards to action in the physical realm and, you know, the darker, more hot, literally think hot colors. You know, we think hot green, hot pink, hot purple, hot, you know, like hot, intense, robust hue colors. And it has to do with the direction of the south, the guardians of the southern watchtowers. In the west, we have water, we have the autumn equinox, we have the sunset, the evening, and at the very end, the dusk, the twilight, folks. This is the twilight season, the most colorful season.
The one most, that we were just in and we missed.
Yes, the most rich and contoured season, arguably the shortest season because we technically divide it up in the way we celebrate. And it is divided up in the way things look outside. It goes by the fastest and it causes the most forlorn feelings.
Yeah, I feel like normally people think like September to November is, you know, fall and autumn. And it is, but I mean, the equinox really happens so late in September, and then the winter one, I feel like, happens so soon. I don't know. Yeah, like you said, it definitely feels very short, but this is a time to start reflecting. You know, it's rebirth. I mean, sowing, again, like new things, new year.
The most spiritual time of the year, everything becomes metaphysical. The balance. But the balance in the physical world slowly fading, where the autumn in your life is usually when you're like in your mid to late 50s going into your 60s.
Mm-hmm. And this is about, you know, respecting
40s if you smoke a lot.
respecting the dead, respecting the dead of the old. It's cyclical. You work on protection for yourself and loved ones. You can focus on prosperity, wealth, and success. That's interesting because people often say that you can have a lot of reflection around autumn and winter and technically plant seeds so they bloom in the spring. So this would be a time for education, for learning, for study.
Also, the times where the earth is at its most emotional. I mean, I think we've all, you know, anyone who is affected by these things or affected by seasonal mood swings. Now, I don't necessarily say seasonal depression anymore. I used to say it like that, and I'd argue that, you know, it's if you focus on one thing in particular, it will come more often. You know, it's the law of attraction, friends. I say seasonal mood swings because I tend to have the most mood swings around this time of year. And this is a perfectly normal thing. If you embrace these things, they will flow faster. They will be understood more. You know, your pain in regards to pleasure will be heightened. And it's such... that arguably the most in-depth and most misunderstood of all the seasons. You know, the coming of cold, the subtle transitions. And it's the time where the veils are at its thinnest. So anything related to the most in-depth sides of art and creation have to do with this. The relentless forces of change, higher, more powerful magic. Dark magic is very much... powerful at this time because we're approaching the darkest night of the year. The beginning of winter is actually the darkest night of the year, and then light comes. Yes. The darkest before the dawn exists. So technically winter, you'd argue that autumn really is the darkest of our seasons.
Yes.
Dusk, the colors, really just about every color has to do
with this time, especially how colors contour together, how colors go together rather than how they are separately, is very much a factor of this time. You think nymphs, the undines, I don't know too much about those entities. Different types of spirits, I say djinn. It is female. It is a negative pole. Time of being receptive, the decreasing, the waning size of things, destruction in a very subtle sort of way as opposed to a very powerful sort of way. Useful for doing spells related to your emotions and understanding who you are at a core.
Yes, reflection. I mean, this is a lot of time where animals hibernate. And, you know, it's about letting things go that have held you back, working with meditation and the spirit realm and, you know, reflecting so you can grow and prosper in the spring.
And finally, I stated that it also has to do with the West.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, having to do with the North, the beginning and end of the circle, as we think, has to do with the element of Earth. We're thinking none other than Winter, midwinter, Yule, the darkest night of the year.
Oh,
and when goddess gives birth to the new. Oh, well, go ahead.
I think I got a little ahead of myself. I was talking mostly about winter in those last couple of things.
Oh, well, they correspond.
I mean, they all go together, but for some reason I thought that we had, I don't know why I thought, you know why? It's because everything seems so similar. I was like, oh, I'm ready to talk about all my winter stuff.
All the more reason to read between the lines and the subtext of how language works, friends.
Yes, exactly. So basically, again, this is more about winter is good for spiritual healing. It's for family. It's for introspection. It's
silence because
yes.
The complete time of death. Like we
yes.
celebrating the coming of death and then really the mourning period after
yep.
death. We also think nighttime, friends. Complete yep. nighttime, the stillness.
And the middle of hibernation. So animals are definitely in that reflective study period. Again, you know, take this time to study, to learn, to work relax. On your education, relax, just take some time to yourself. I mean, do your own version of hibernation. And then this way in the spring, you'll have planted all of your educational seeds and all of your
seeds in general.
Yeah, all your seeds in general will be ready to bloom in the spring.
The time where the goddess gives birth to the new sun, the new archetype of the young archetype of the male god, you know, the defeat of the Holly King in Return of the Oak King. We think things related purely. Some people debate this, you know, and it really depends. And I'd argue that it's, you know, autumn being the most spiritual time of the year is that like Earth is. You know, and, you know, Earth, we think the physical plane, but it's also this kind of medium point in and of itself. Autumn and winter are very different. The stagnance and silence that exist with winter can drive you mad, truth be told.
I do love it, though. That's one of my favorite things about when it snows is how silent it is and peaceful.
Green, brown, black, all things to do with this time.
Earthy colors,
a good consecrative tool to keep in mind. Obviously, it would be like ritual salt. We think the pentacle. We think things that shield, things that keep us warm, all-encompassing. The gnomes, dwarves, I'd argue that elves would have to do at this time. Anything related to moon spirits, it's a positive side of feminine alignment. And it's receptive, but not in a waning sense. Receptive in a waxing sort of sense. Mm. Good. This is also good for things for doing spells and related to building your finances, you know, really. And
yeah.
learning how to, not just in a prosperous sort of way, but in a self-sustaining sort of way. You
mm-hmm.
know, think about the concept of, you know, when everything hibernates, they save their food for the next year, rationing.
Squirreling things away.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, we think of, you know, the biggest meat harvests actually in antiquity were during, you know, autumn and winter. And then we made sure,
everything.
Yeah, that you kept the fat on, that you could deal with the time of winter and then the coming of spring. People actually ate less meat during the spring and summer months.
But of course, it's heavy. You can kind of think like I like to eat more fruit and vegetables and things like that when it's hot out. It doesn't really make you crave meat. But in the winter, you want things that are hearty and wholesome that keep you warm. And you use salt to jerky things. So again, using the earth for you.
Yes. And it's a very interesting thing. And, you know, you say it always makes you feel heavy. Meat never makes me feel heavy at all. Unless it's garbage, unless it's cooked really bad or that animal was treated very poorly. So yeah, all the more reason, friends. I know that I'm certain we have a vegan or vegetarian listener out there. This is not to say, look, friends, like we're like dietary differences are never going to be an absolute.
Yes, we're going to have both people on. We're going to have people on both sides of the debate, rather. So let us know. I mean, how you feel about that. You know, is winter a time for you to have a lot of soup and heavy things and meat? Or do you pretty much keep the same diet like all year round?
And the idea is, should you do that? Yes. I'd argue that the fruits and vegetables, I'd argue you should only eat the ones that are in tandem with it is where you're living. So if you're importing a lot of tropical fruit in the winter, your body might be a little confused. You know, we wonder all these subtle things.
Because a lot of stuff in our supermarket, like we're so fortunate now that we can have out of season things. We can have things from different areas of the world that we've never been able to have access to before. So, we're lucky enough where we live that berries are a big thing. But in some other places, along the water and other, you know, waterside places, berries really aren't that big of a deal or that popular because you normally get them in the mountains.
Also, think about everything, what you eat in tandem with what it is you live. If certain things that you eat they come from another place of land, perhaps what's going into your body, that energy, you know, and your body will manifest and think, oh, hey, this, what's going inside us has to correspond with this land. So we're going to make adaptations that deal with this particular climate. So if you're eating things that are available in tropical places in the winter, it stands to say that your body could get confused, do things like develop acne or allergies or any sort of things. Like these are the things that we want to really keep in mind, friends.
Yeah, that would be a really interesting thing.
I would certainly argue. And I'd also certainly argue that your ethnic origin has to do with a lot of things. I mean, I'm only really second generation Mediterranean, Italian, Greek, you know, whatever. And, you know, granted, you know, we do mix more than people know, friends. I mean, hence all these genealogy tests out there. But
And it's good. Yeah. Some of the positive things, too, are having things like coconut oil around all the time, because that's a tropical thing that honestly just cures everything. At least for me, I can use it for my skin and my hair, and you can use it in lip balms and just so many different things. It's one of the only things that clears certain skin ailments for me and things like that. So we're very lucky to be able to have that. But again, you know, I would say maybe do that as a little experiment with yourself. Try eating things when they're out of season. Or, I mean, we do actually have a lot of oranges around Christmas because people used to get oranges in their stockings as a way to help give them some vitamin C and some fruit that happened to be a little bit of a winter fruit, even though it seems very sunny and bright.
So, things that we have to think about, friends. We implore you, study your own bodies. Mm-hmm. You may be similar to someone, but you are not exactly like them.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And that's perfectly okay. A balanced diet. We are omnivorous, you know, contrary to modern rhetoric.
Best life.
Yes. And, you know, above all, don't criticize someone with things that you may not understand. Cannot stress that enough.
Yeah.
But all in all, those are how the seasons work and how the transitions of those seasons, you know, there are midway points. This is why we have 8 Sabbaths instead of just celebrating the 4 changes of season. You know, the midway points, the before and the after, what's cardinal and what's mutable, you know, and how these things divide up. It's all a giant math problem, all a giant division.
The only kind of fun, interesting math there is.
Well, yeah. No, honestly, I'd argue that everyone would do great if there was a spiritual connection to math. And I did not like math in school, but it was so bland. They took all the humanity and spirituality out of it.
And they don't go back to basics.
Now I study it now. So it's...
Yeah, they don't go back to basics. I feel like knowing basics really helps with understanding the higher, you know, aspects of it, which, I mean, makes a lot of sense. And That's why we have goals of including a lot of foundational work in the podcast to really help you guys go from the bottom up. And if you are just tuning in now, the Magical Correspondences doesn't necessarily have to go in a certain order. It's not like chronological, but they do all fit together. And we hope that if you are listening to this first, that you like it so well that you will go and check out the rest of our episodes.
Yes. It seems we got this one done pretty fast. We tried to be as, again, people, as foundational as possible. We implore you really to study your own senses. Really go out and visit and learn what Gaia can tell you, what the universe can tell you, Mother Earth can tell you.
Yes, and part of our upcoming listener episode that we want to do, if you just want to write us about this, about what you think about yourself, if you have any meditations that you you like to do on a regular basis, and if there are things that you've studied about yourself upon hearing this episode, and you want to just tell us about yourself, even, I mean, that's great. We want to learn about you guys. We want to share more about us with you. We're thinking of doing another like getting to know you episode. So if there's any sort of prompts or any questions that you want to ask us, we will for sure include them in a, you know, getting to know you episode. And I mean, definitely hit us up on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group. It's Spellcast Podcast, the page and the Facebook group. I will definitely add you. Just let us know that you heard about it on the podcast or where we heard it from. And Instagram is at Witchy Page, and we're on Twitter at Spellcast Pod. And if you want to join Patreon and help support the show, we very much appreciate it. A big shout out to all of our Patreon followers and all of our Patreon supporters. You will have access to awesome things like a private Facebook group, a private chat on Instagram, and a private group on Snapchat. We have great conversations with each other. We're really close, and it's a great little coven that we have going. So we'd love to have you join us. Anything helps, but if you can't support us in that way, that's just fine. We don't mind. We really appreciate your support in any way possible. If you could rate, review, subscribe, we'd really super appreciate that. We are on iTunes, so you can review there. I don't know how Spotify works in that regard, and we're also on Anchor, and I know you can favorite us, we can applaud our episodes, things like that. So anything you can do on whatever platform you listen to is very much appreciated. Also, sharing us with your friends, give us a shout out, maybe just even in conversation, mention us to your friend on Twitter. You can retweet our stuff, you can like our stuff, anything like that. We appreciate, we want to just know you're out there. And yeah, so thank you guys so much. We actually managed to keep this, like he said, a pretty short episode, but it was an extension on part two. So if you think about it, technically, it was an hour and a half. That's why we didn't have time. We thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. And remember, there's a little witch in all of us.
And the spirits live in the mirror.